This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Way I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton.
Good evening. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. For you who sometimes like to call in, and I've heard the stories of many people who tune into the show, and they say they really don't like the call in and comment, because everything that is discussed on this show, whether it's the guests that I bring who have never been on a radio show but are doing great work in the community, has a story similar to what's going on in our country as far as improvement measures. You know, every community activist, every organization that has been in the show for about 10 years, if you listen to each and every individual across the board, from Rotary, to the church, to the pastors, and et cetera, and to the many, many of different organizations who have been over the show the last 10 years, you would hear similar stories. And all it is about talking about what they are doing to combat poverty and crime, and to help the less fortunate in that particular community and country. And they're very extraordinary men and women who have dedicated themselves to making improvements in their beautiful country, and we call that activism, you know, and it gets no better than that. And I just want to say to all of them who participate in this tough and difficult task, I want to give a thumbs up to each and every one of you. Today's show, we're going to talk about comments made concerning unemployment. Our rate is down in the country. I think in this part of the physical year, comments were made by the Honorable Brave Davis, who is the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And then we have some comments thrown back at him from the opposition leader, the Honorable Michael Pintard. We have two statesmen going at it. Both are vying, one seeking to be reelected as Prime Minister, one is seeking to become Prime Minister by defeating Brave Davis at the poll as it stands now. So them two are going at it. Two seems to be decent gentlemen. There's some problems happening in both parties, you know, but like I said, I feel that Mr. Brave Davis is doing an outstanding job, just as well as the opposition, Michael Pintard, and many of the ministers of the current government are doing a very extremely good job. But there's more that can be done. That can be done if it's focused in the right direction. And one of the right direction we need to head in now is to try and get as much people empowered in this country with small businesses, get as much people employed in this country, get much people, kids, teenagers, involved in trade, because, you know, trade is the future. And agriculture, fisheries, you know, and a lot of small businesses out there that a lot of us who are looking for a new mindset. And I feel that new mindset, if we want to see a greater Bahamas, we really have to create opportunities when it comes to trade, when it especially comes to the tourism industry, because with your fingers and your hands, you can actually be creative, you know. And then we have the guests visiting our shores. We have close to 8 million this year, and we're on record pace to go 10 million. So this is a plus for us, but we have to find a way on how we can create a way and an avenue where we can get as much people involved in small business on the whole, get as much people employed as possible. And we have to train so many people in this country if we want to see a better Bahamas. So today we just want to have a comment on this particular topic where the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, he is talking about unemployment is down under his administration. And then we'd go from there, and then I'd talk about what is the solution that I think is the solution. I'd talk more about local government, because I believe that can be the solution to the country's current problem, and we're looking for a solution to take the pressure off central government and to be able to provide a suitable solution that fits that community, that the community residents can change their mindset and benefit on the ideas of the community leaders and persons who are in that community, who could come up with plans and ideas for a particular corner or a particular site and make it happen. So I think that can happen through local government, and that himself can actually bring unemployment down in the country and provide more opportunities for residents in these communities. So, okay, I think it was this week or last week, you know, I'd be busy doing so many programs, you know, so I'd be extremely, extremely busy. You know, I never stop working. I was involved in some type of program, or many people call me, and you know, so it's very difficult, but I manage it. So sometimes you see me, you know, always be very, very exhausted. So let's begin. Okay, the current Prime Minister made a statement concerning unemployment, and I guess he was suggesting that unemployment is down. Basically, from the statistics that his Department of Statistics is providing him as the Prime Minister. And I guess that's all the people who have subcontracts, who the government has have deals with, companies that are doing construction work, building hotels, and people are being employed, et cetera. And then you have some people who are getting contract directly that are trickling down. So I guess they use the statistics of that, and they analyze it, and they present it to the Prime Minister. Now, when it comes to that statistics, I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm going to speak on what I've seen and what I've been fighting for the last 25, 30 years, talking to various different government, talking to various different prime ministers, minister of national security, and many ministers themselves. I always was fighting for an opportunity to come up with a strategic plan to find ways on how we can empower people. And over the course of the years, programs are being implemented bit by bit over the course of 25 years. And I've seen the progress, you know, slow progress, but I've seen the progress, talking to different ministers, and then it's getting passed in legislation and then passed in parliament. I've seen happen with Lady Cheryl Wilson, wife of Sir Wilson. And we did an extensive work together on some of the ideas we came up with, second chance and widening opportunities with small businesses, et cetera, was presented at that particular women's branch of the Progressive Liberal Party. And then eventually it was passed on to Parliament. And then Dr. Bernard Norwich tabled it in Parliament, and then eventually it was passed. And that's something that has passed now that many people are benefiting on, but we have to get strong on that. Okay, so yeah. So the statistics that the Prime Minister gets from his government survey department, you know, he's using government survey department. And after he said that, you know, the Prime Minister is right with the statistics. You know, government statistics, he's right. Based on the opportunities they've been widening, employment that they've been widening for the last 2.5 years. So I don't know that could dictate and deduct from the current unemployment percentage in the country. So I guess that was able to bring it down. And the opposition leader, Michael Pintard, stated that, you know, there's nothing new about the talks that the Prime Minister was bringing forth. Like, you know, there are a lot of people still out there, it's basically the same statistics as when they were in power as government and et cetera. So it was a back and forth. And I want to say to the both gentlemen, as far as the Prime Minister's statistics that he received from his analysts and from different statistic department when it comes to the unemployment, they are right. But we also must remember this. These statistics that you're talking about doesn't include the 250,000 or 500,000 Bahamian people who reside in these inner-city community. Just as well as, you know, the last general election was the lowest voters turnout and lowest voters registry in the history of the country. People say it was because of the COVID-19. No, people just wasn't into it whatsoever. People just was fed up, and you know, they just say whatever the situation, the other Bahamian people is going to make up for the slack, because they know that particular election was going to be won by this current government based on the stress and screen that was put on the Bahamian people. Okay, and I ran off course just now. I ran kind of, but anyway, when we take a look at it, how was the lowest voters registry turnout in the history of the country? It was reported 150 or 160,000 Bahamian people registered to vote, and then they said that out of that, some 150,000 people didn't even register to vote, and then you had some who was not even interested, even get interested in the election at all, like they didn't care. So if you look at it, you would have probably 250,000 to 300,000 people who wasn't really interested in the general election, and then you might have a next $150,000 to $200,000 people registered to vote, and many of them didn't turn out to even vote. So when you look at the numbers, the statistics can't be right, because you can't tell, if you understand where I'm coming from. You got 170,000 people registered to vote, and that won the general election. You have 100 or 150,000 people who registered to vote, and then you have a next probably 200,000 people who didn't even care. But the general election was won by those who voted at the polls. Well, 160,000 to 170,000 people who voted, they decide who's going to be the next government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. But if you look at it, you had about 300,000 plus people who didn't even participate. So when you're doing statistics, right, when it comes to the overall statistic for the country, the government can't give an estimate, because they don't go door to door to find out who's working in each and every one of these houses. Because if you go door to door, each and every one of these houses, you might be lucky to find one person working in these houses, door to door. So like I said, the Prime Minister's statistics, what he get from his statistics, personnel, it's right, because that's the government part of it. But overall, no, because if you go door to door in this country today, there are many people who aren't working in this country today, door to door. Like I said, you might find one person in a single home working. Or if you have a house where there's a 3-bedroom, you might find one person or two person working, but at least 10 people in the house. And then some places you go, there's no one working at all. Some guys are just hustling on the streets and bringing in a couple of dollars, and then you have girls who are doing their thing, like hair braiding, and then some girls, you know, do the excrement or bring some funds in the house. Then you have some girls who mom left them in the house. You know, they're under 20, you know, they have no guidance, no spiritual guidance, you know, and they're left in these houses, and they're doing what they're doing, and they're cursing in front of the children and all this stuff. You understand? So they are employed also. So I'm not knocking on the Prime Minister, but I'm saying there's no way in the Bahamas where unemployment can be down. That's the government statistics. Mr. Prime Minister, I know that you're a very decent man. You're doing the best that you can to help steer the country in the right direction. You have a lot of great investors invest in the government this year in the billions. Probably it would add up to $1 trillion in this 5-year, 10-year under the Davis administration. You know, there has been major investment, airports, hospitals, you know, but when you're talking about employment and that it's done, that's ridiculous, though. Because deep down in your heart, sir, if you ride through these communities, you would see people sitting on, looking for something to do, looking for some type of work. You see some guys working on an old car. You see some guys playing dominoes on the side of the road. You see people walking up and down on the road, you know, looking for something to do. You know? There's no money flowing through the inner city communities. You know? So it's just hustle. You know? So to say unemployment is down in the country is absurd. From my point of view, who still resides in these communities, and every day I see people walk the streets every day looking for work, but can't find a work. If unemployment is down, show me all the businesses in these communities that people are making a good living off in these communities. Name some business. You know, the only kind of business people are really working on right now in inner city communities like Bamboo Shark, Super Value. You know, I don't want to be disrespectful to Super Value, but they provide an opportunity by giving people the opportunity to have a job. The staff might be underpaid, you know? But it might be, you know, I can't say, you know, because it provides an opportunity, you know? There are places where people want, if they want work, it's probably the Royal Bahamas Police Force or the Royal Bahamas Defense Force or immigration. You know, we get 5,000 students coming to school every year. Okay? And out of the 5,000 will come with the previous year. About 1,000 or 2,000 might be able to get in government, might be able to get a job to a company in the Bahamas, you know, with a job paying over $500 a week. You know, other than that, those 5,000 kids are going to be left in this country because they have no trade. And the inner city community can provide no employment because the community themselves is run down and don't have the infrastructure to provide opportunities in these inner city communities unless people come up with creative ways to say, let's turn that into something. Let's work together and see what we can do here, you know? And be creative in their respective communities. And that could bring down unemployment in the country. So the opposition was speaking on it also, Michael Pintard. You know, I think he's a wonderful, fantastic young leader. I wish the best for him in the general election. Most people are fed up with politics. But, you know, we have no choice but to vote. You know, regardless of how we feel, you know, it's a back and forth. But, you know, we make slow progress over the years. We might want faster progress, but I guess that until we wake up and understand what we really need to do, and that's help one another and build one another and teach one another and love one another, you know, because in this country, you know, we, especially the males, you know, the males are losing the battle, you know, in this country. Females have 20 times more opportunities than a male in this country to find work, you know. And men are on the decline because We operators, we like to work. We like to own business. But when we have our government, you know, getting this $50 million investment here, getting this $500 million here, you know, getting this $100 million here, getting this $100 million from the United States of America to help build up the Caribbean again. You know, all this investment, you know, but when we look at our small country, which is the capital of this part of the world, okay? We are one of the richest Caribbean in the world, but we're also one of the most expensive places to live in the world, okay? We make minimum wage, I think it's $250, $260 now, from 9 to 5, okay? And when we look at what is being sent to social service based on the budget to deal with the at-risk families, the system, you know, we're just losing, you know. So for me to the prime minister, so unemployment is still here, so, you know, you're doing a fantastic job of helping empower those you can empower. We're not expecting you, and I'm not expecting you to be able to help the whole country, but I know that if persons out there who have creative ideas and they have access to a prime minister or a leader of the opposition who would listen and say, you know what, let's see what would happen if we try this, you know? We need leaders who are going to try something new. It's not something new. It's an idea out there that can, and a solution that could change the concept of how we can be empowered in these communities. And I feel that unless we have leaders who are ready to take that leap of faith and invest in persons in the community and the country, okay, and listen. And a prime example of that is my good friend from Rise Bahamas, Tenille Burrows, and an excellent team of staff. You know, I admire Tenille Burrows. You know, the reason why is because she looked at child abuse. She looked at woman rights, you know, equality, and et cetera. Now, we may not agree on everything that she speaks on, but the many things that she speaks on and our organization and the team speaks on is things that really affect us and can be very beneficial to us, you know? I think, if I'm correct, I don't know if it's on Morning Blend with Dwight Schrone. And let me say this about the general manager, Dwight Schrone. He all about on his Morning Blend, right, playing slick. Like he ain't know nothing but local government. Y'all listen to me, people. I just listen to him, you know, and I just laugh at him. He's so slick, you know, like he ain't know nothing. Dwight Schrone was sitting in on a discussion with the institution of local government at the government agency for over a year. But every time I listen to him, he plays like he knows nothing. And he just let people like Tenille Burrows or myself talk about the suggestion and ideas. But Dwight Schrone of Guardian Radio gave a lot of great ideas on solutions when it comes to the introduction of local government. So he's right there from the inception. You know, even though Renard Hanfield was the chair, Dwight was also holding a lot of weight there too. So I just wanted to let you all know that he was there from the inception too, and he made some good recommendation that was right down on the paper. And Tenille Burrows and the organization, Ride Bahamas, it's an extraordinary organization. And I think that if we listen and follow Tenille Burrows on the idea of the introduction of local government, I think we don't understand the impact it can have on us. Now, if we take out the corruption of the local government, right? Because it sounds good. Listen to me, people. It sounds good. Okay, but there's problems you're going to run into. You understand? But the way how it's put together, and if you have the right set of people who are interested on saying, hey, look at the change we can make for the inner city community. We could have the garbage collection collected on time. We could have speed bumps where there needs to be speed bumps, okay? We can make recommendations on abandoned houses in the community that are not being kept, okay? Because we have a team serving the community. And it has to be a bi-partnership where there is a government, but the local government is here for the people to make the necessary, to make sure the necessary equipment is there for these inner city communities. You know, we have garbage that has been building up for 2 weeks. The garbage truck just come back around from over 2 weeks. Okay? So I'm going to take this call and I'm going to explain more about Rise Bahamas and what local government can do to assist with unemployment and take this country in the right direction by having people who live in these communities who have some ideas and need help, and we could provide it for them by helping local government. Okay, go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, good afternoon, Scooch.
Good afternoon to you too, sir.
Yes. Yeah, Scoochie. Every day what I hear you talk about today, right, Scoochie, right, is true and it does exist, right? But I believe we payments have reached to the time in the Bahamas life, right,
mm-hmm.
that we have to move away from the attitude what kept us in this position we in as a people, right? There's absolutely no way, in my opinion, sir, that we could keep beating a dead horse and still want it to get up and go.
Go ahead, right? Caller. Go ahead, caller. Listen to that.
You know, because at the end of the day, right?
Yes, sir.
The PLP and the FNM, right, has proven over the last 49 and almost 50 years, right,
yes,
that
sir.
They are not interested in changing the Bahamas for the better of the citizens.
We can agree on that.
Right? Because why? If they were interested, right?
Go ahead, sir.
Then we would have seen more sustainable and more projects being in place that would benefit generation and not just a few people every 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Because we can grow a nation if we only looking for a 5 year period.
Go ahead, sir.
And then after you make it to the 5 year period and you don't be reelected, then we have to start again
all
with
over
another
again.
5 year
yes,
period.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir. Go ahead,
right?
Sir.
So how is that moving forward? Right?
Mm-hmm.
We, for 50 years of Squidge, we had two vibrant cities in this country. What had behemoths moving back and forth because, you know, they was doing so good. Right?
Yes.
Grand Bahama and New Providence.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But today, 50 years later, all we have to show, right?
It's abandoned houses.
It's abandoned buildings, abandoned houses, the streets in peril, shanty towns all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no progression. It's the same, and then we have leaders who believe that we are interested in the same old rhetoric every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every 5 years we vote for politicians to make sure our lights don't turn off in the summer when it's most needed.
Yes, sir.
Right? But what they do? They continue us down the same trend of buying fuel that they know can break down, and as soon as the summer months reach, there's a problem. We living in the sun, the land
load
of
shedding.
Sun.
You talking about the load shedding?
The load shedding.
And I heard the minister say we're gonna have more.
Yes, because they have Scourge, we have the minister is only, in my opinion, a person put there to act a role, but he really ain't bringing no value to that role.
No solution to the role.
That is not his profession.
That's right. I understand.
Right? So how he could bring any value to that role if that is not his profession? He don't know if somebody is telling him the truth. Mm. He have to believe and take a chance that they are.
You're right.
And if they aren't telling the truth, then the whole country suffer.
Yes, sir. You're right.
I believe, right, we need to move in a direction where the Bahamian people could be empowered, because jobs is not empowerment.
No.
Because at the end of the day, you waken from pillar to post.
For 260?
For 260 and one and
your light bill is $100 on your light bill.
Lights are going up every month.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But we need to get rid of these antiquated politicians which only could keep us going around and around and around we go. Where do we end up?
Oh, well.
Nobody knows. We don't need that type of governance no more. We need a governance that can tell us where we're going and then draw the map for us to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can see moves being made to get there.
Yes, sir.
Just again, right on this, Scourge.
Go ahead, man.
Islands, right?
Yes, sir.
Scourge, we have islands that are connectable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just by a bridge.
Yeah, they say
right?
they're
connectable.
We're talking about building bridges.
Yes, right?
Nothing
there's
happened.
There's no island in this country was being connected to each other.
Yeah, you're right.
Right, because if Freeport is connected to Abaco, then the economic value of Freeport and Abaco becomes even more stronger.
Yeah, it combines. It's like trading. You know, we get a shorter route.
It's more stronger if Long Island is connected to Exuma. Then the economic value of those islands become even greater.
Yes, yes, yes. I understand. Yes.
Right? But we don't have no vision. If we listen to our politicians, my brother, you would take a tape of your archives and play it. The same things they said.
50
years
ago.
And the only thing will be different is the date.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the only thing would be different.
I'm sorry,
the date and the person who might be saying the sad situation.
Yeah, you're trying
but
to
say the everything would be the same.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Right. So, I don't know why people. I have to say this too. I don't know why the media, right, is refusing to acknowledge a gentleman in the name of Lincoln being with bringing all type of things to the table, right? And they are running around, skirting around, because why? The PLP and the FLM really don't want this man to gather no type of following from the local media, right? Mm. So, but to their demise, the people are still getting the information, and this is why you find these people talking about the things what this man was talking about, and they are now being forced to talk about it, right? Because the Bahamian people, they cannot walk to these people them door to door, because the people them mind have already changed from that old type situation with jobs, and this is why Bahamian people ain't looking for no jobs. That's why they could say them things. Bahamian people aren't looking for jobs because they realize I can make a hustle and say, and have more free time rather than being committed to a job for X amount of hours every day
and still being
able to take care of myself.
Mm.
That is no interest to people.
Did a good
no
job,
more.
Man. Yeah, man.
You know? So I would hope that the Bahamas, they are waking up, and I hope that more Bahamians wake up and realize that we is what we do, is what action we take to make the Bahamas
a better place.
A better place and not and stop relying on our leaders for demonstrating to us that they don't have no vision for us.
Thank you very much. They have no vision.
We are our attorney general uttering these things, right? Talking about how they trying to get this sums of money from the
U.S.
from the port authority, right?
And Freeport,
Ron and Freeport, Bama. Right?
From a couple of years ago.
But no, they talking. But for the entire the port authority is the reason why, in my view, why Freeport, Grand Bahama is a failed place, right? Because those people ain't there to establish no city. Those people are there to make
money
from our
right
and our sand and our rocks.
And part of port of entry, yeah.
That's why they're there, because those companies that owned by those white people in part of the port authority inside of Freeport, these people making billions of dollars a year. They don't have no time to be worrying with no couple black Negroes. That ain't on their run. And they've shown us that.
And it goes deeper than that too, you know. And what we must remember, that contracts were signed from back in the 70s that are still outstanding, and it's hard to squash contracts, you know. It's past leaders who signed these documents on. I was quite surprised that during the time when we asked for independence, do you see we had to sign on a lot of CARICOM and United Nations just to get independence in the country? So that at the same time right there, we signed a lot of different screens contracts in order to have independence, so-called independence. So that's what I have to say about it.
Right. I'm glad you clarified it, Mr. Scotty, because, you know, they see our politician taught us, I mean, they groom us to believe lies.
Yeah.
Right? If you have educated people or so-called educated people with degrees, or they're spewing lies that the Bahamas is an independent nation, when in fact, the Bahamas only got self-governance.
That's what you call it. It's called local government.
That's local government. Governing ourselves.
Self. And we are still
our detriment.
Yes. I keep telling people the Bahamas is a corporation. I tell people, look up Canada, look up the United States of America. Anything with a colony, and when we break off independence, look at it and see what it comes to besides England. It's a company.
But Mr. Scrooge.
Yes, sir?
Canada, as we know it, right,
go ahead,
is
sir.
Still under colonial control.
All right.
But they just, because they most people in Canada are white, they was allowed to have a different type of system under the control of our colonial master. They still under Britain.
As long as they don't have a king or a queen.
Right? But the Bahamas, right, we need to break away and tell our children the truth, right, that we are not an independent nation, because you cannot be an independent nation
system
when a next foreign nation is the head of your state.
Yep. And that is the king. The king is the head of the state of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Am I right or am I a stupid person?
And you are definitely right, and that is the reason why we can never say
we are independent. Listen to this, and that's the idea about it. People would say we're an independent country, right? When you see the swearing where we give our allegiance to the king, and we still saying we're an independent nation, and then when we won these awards, we get these awards from Britain. How in the world how? Listen, the truth is a serious, but listen, people believe lies. All the Fox, you know, the guy just got sworn in.
Yeah.
And then,
you could get a whole nation, if you could deceive a whole nation to believe that.
And the truth right there, and people still don't believe the truth.
No. Because Grammy them to say this be independent, and Mummy to say we independent.
But you still,
so we independent.
So we independent, right? Let me just go on this real quick. So if we're independent, why the Governor General have to swear in the Prime Minister, an incoming Prime Minister, the Deputy Prime Minister, all the ministers, all the senators, and
in
listen
the
what
name,
they swear to. They
in the
swear
name of Her Majesty the King,
King
his heirs,
and its successor. And that's the first law we swear on. You know, we don't swear on the behaving people. Now, listen now, the second one, that's why we run it trying to worry about these rape allegations. Now, I'm not saying that the MP is guilty of rape, but we all know that when a behaving, a regular behaving, I'm a taxpayer, so I'm not a civil servant, but at least a civil servant. The parliamentarian is civil servant. They're untouchable. The only person who could be able to parliamentarian in this country, whether it's on the opposition or government, is the honorable prime minister of the country at that particular time. He is the only person who could be able to sit in parliamentary because the commissioner and police himself don't have the authority to go and arrest no sitting MP, regardless if the information is passed on, because we have seen that. But I just want to give you the real...
That's a corrupt system, buddy.
Right. You understand?
That's corruption to the highest core. We don't need to continue on with a prime minister with us the power to appoint every faction in this country that could cause there to be no corruption. For instance, the prime minister appoints the attorney general, who supposed to have the power to arrest the prime minister.
So who's the boss?
Commissioner of police.
So how you can lock up his boss?
He can't lock him up because he gave him the job.
So you know why they do that? It's an order that if any corruption goes on, I'm not saying this government or the next government, but this is the order to have your commission in place that if anything fishy, well, boss, we get the information, what we're going to do? You know, we're going to say the file is lost, like how you've been meant to say the Oban file gone lost. Now, we all know it ain't a one file. A file as important as the Oban, right? Can't go missing. One file could go missing, but this is a government agency, and we're supposed to be intelligent and smart. I sure I'd get copy off a few times, but you hear what they come up with? Yeah, you hear what they say? It's going missing. So to us as behemoths who are a taxpayer, see, we're different, boss. Me and you are taxpayers, okay? Government officials are different. The police, the defense force, government, and all immigration, they are civil servants, and they serve the Queen under the Governor General, okay?
Hey. If the Attorney General under the former administration were elected person, the Oban files couldn't go missing because the people could have fired that attorney general, right? But because the attorney general was appointed by the prime minister, the file could have gone missing.
Yeah.
The reason why they put their attorney generals in place, their commissioner police is in place, their chief justices in place, it's because it's a control.
It's a party system. You know, you and me, you're with me, and I'm with you. So you go with me, I'm going to put you in place. Same thing with Marvin Dames
If I decide to do any corruption, sir, you don't have the power to question my corruption.
No, and it states that in the swearing-in. Now, listen. You don't have to take the word from me. Listen to the second part. The second part states when they get sworn, whether it's the prime minister, whether it's the minister of education, whoever, the senator, it says this, that anything that is discussed in parliament remains a secret. Okay, so what that means, that's why these guys can't get charged. You won't see, it is not second law that is passed in the swearing, and then thirdly, they swear to the Bahamian people. Thirdly, the second one, listen to the second one. That's why I say, the only person who could ever lock up a sitting MP. And we saw it with Menes when he was in power, when he went after Shane Gibson and et cetera. Now we're seeing the Honorable Brave Davis go out of one or two MPs and the Free National Movement. It's because now we're advocating for it. And as the Bahamian people advocate for it, they put the procedure in place and Menes went with the procedure. Now Davis is going with the procedure. But that was all us.
But we need, I can still leave you with this.
Go ahead.
Mr.
Go ahead. OG. What conversation though?
Both of those ways will never allow the Bahamas to grow.
No, it would not.
If we don't elect our prime minister, our chief justice, our attorney general, our commissioner,
independently,
corruption will continue to go to higher heights.
Yes, sir.
In this country,
yes,
because
sir.
These people are
it's party. It's party. It's a party.
Even if they wake up one morning and say, you know what? Well, I ain't going against the righteousness in my heart.
No.
Right? Even if they wake up with that thought, right? They would never carry it out because why?
It's a party, it's a system. It's a system.
Embarrassment.
Yeah. It's a system.
And victimization.
It's a system in both FNM and PLP. It's a system in the police department that needs to be independently investigated. We need independent people, independent thinkers who are there, concerned of the BMN people, whether you're a civil servant or you're just a regular taxpayer like us. You understand?
Empowerment, my brother.
Yes.
Empowerment. Yeah. If you ain't coming knocking on BMN doors to talk about empowerment and changing the paradigm what
Chef,
exists in this country,
don't come around at all.
Don't come knocking on no BMN doors.
That's
because
right.
Everything which you come in to say, we didn't hear before.
That's right.
And we didn't know ain't nothing going to happen.
Yes.
So if you ain't coming with empowerment,
mm-hmm.
real empowerment for Bahamian people, buddy, mm-hmm. 50 years is here, and we can't do 50 more years of deception, corruption.
No, we can't take it.
And manipulation, right? We can't do no more of that.
Thank you very much, man.
You have a nice day, buddy. Mm-hmm. Your show always is great. I look forward for it every Friday.
Man, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it, man. You had a wonderful conversation tonight. Knock a lot of points that,
appreciate
you know.
Appreciate you, my brother.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you too. Yeah. Thank you very much. You know, and I like to have a conversation with Bahamian people, you know, who understand what's going on, the dynamics in the community, and speak about it, because that's what the show all about. You know, yeah. You know, and that's it. You know, the system. You know, we need an independent body of police officers who are dedicated to uphold the law. And what's right is right. And you need an independent body that'll be on the police force, who are police officers, but who are dedicated. They have no friends. They have friends, but they have no colleagues. They're not affiliated with no particular organization. They're just there to do their job. If the police is accused of doing a shooting incident, they'll do their best to properly investigate it, to make sure that the police is not lied on to by the general public, because, you know, a lot of people in the public lies on the police also. You know, we know the police are on a lot of screen, and we know that they also are corrupt. Some of the officers are corrupt, okay? But many of them are decent, law-abiding officers who do their job with due diligence, with integrity. But sometimes the bad, you know, really outdo the good. You understand? So there's a lot of great police officers out there who are doing their job to the best of their abilities, and they also put their lives on the line to protect the general public. And we have to be very, very careful on how, you know, we describe them. You know, because, like I said, you know, there are a lot of good officers out there. And yes, you know, it is corruption for us, you know, and we need to see where, if an officer does something wrong, like slap somebody, where other officers are present, and that person is a civilian and he's in handcuff. I want to see that the officer get a handcuff on him from his fellow officers. And that's what we want to see, you know, because that is assault. But when an officer slaps an inmate or a pedestrian, it's not assault. But if I slap the officer, it's assault, and I could get up to a year in prison if I slap the officer. The officer could curse at me, right? And nothing happens to him. And when I respond, I curse them, I get charged with disorderly behavior, resisting arrest, and all this stuff. So where's the balance, you know? And then, like I say, you also have some unruly people, too, who are very disrespectful, you know, don't have no manners, no respect. And we expect the aggressiveness from the officer if you encounter our citizens like that, you know? Because the officer will have to defend himself and get aggressive because these citizens seem to be unruly. But then you have officers who are just rude, but the system protects them. So that's what we want to see. If there's a mistake being made with a shooting incident where a police officer mistakenly, you know, shooting probably killed somebody, and the general public know that. But the system will protect them, because that's what the system does. You know, in order to keep the king, Charles, as head of the colony. That's the system. You know, I always tell people this. You don't believe in the system. Let me show the system gets set up then. This is how the system set up. When leading up to the general election, and the general election is called, once the general election starts, who is in charge of the country? The commissioner of police, right? And who else is in charge of the country? The governor general and the civil servants, They are in charge of the country. No prime minister is in charge of the country once elections start. The country goes in the hands of the provost marshal and the governor general. And that's the system. Then when we re-elect an incoming prime minister or a prime minister who win a second term, he becomes the executive. But he has to get sworn in by the governor general in order for him to become prime minister. He cannot become prime minister unless he takes that oath. He has to sign a contract, and his contract is signed with England. So all the people out there who say we're an independent country, explain to me how we get an independent country. We are self-government, self-governed, and we call it a local government. We only inherit the system. Yeah, so let me go back to my topic before time run out. And I was talking with Daniel Burrows and Rise Organization and pushing for local government. And I give a shout out to General Manager Dwight Scrawn, host of the Morning Blend Show, that has been very instrumental. It's very enlightening to listen to. You know, I listen to Dwight. Boy, he can laugh. Dwight, you're putting on plenty of weight. You're eating too much now. God ain't paying you too much now. So, yeah. For me, hearing about local government, you know, you're expecting it to be easy. Nothing is easy, you know. I've tried so many things, and you think it's easy. I've been cleaning up the area now going for 15 years, and I have the same problem, cleaning up. But guess what? Finally, find a solution. People are getting the hang of it now. Finally! You understand? So, ain't nothing easy. I think that local government introduced in the inner city community, there'll be community leaders who are in this community, who have great ideas, great plans for the community, but just don't have the resources. I think working directly with the minister for that particular community, and the minister would be taking the legislation, like taking a budget, you know, or what's needed for the community, the road repair, because he'd get information from the border people that resides in that particular community, different community leaders, different leaders, people who have influence, people who want to make a difference. So they would gather all information that is needed, abandoned houses, where there needs to be speed bump, where there needs to be light, where there needs to be Wi-Fi, where there needs to be some assistance at the elderly house, where it needs to put up a place where we can have small businesses set up throughout the community, where also we could buy our own garbage truck for this particular community so that we won't have to wait on private or government garbage trucks to come through, because at that time it builds up, you know. And when it builds up, you know, people keep on putting the garbage, then we have these stray dogs that comes through, and then they yuck out the garbage, and the garbage flow through all around the community. So, to me, that's how I feel local government could be very effective, because we could have the member of parliament for the community sitting down to the table, listening to all the complaints, listening to all the solutions, present a budget, and say, you know what, we have 10 houses in this community that need to repair. We have to put some speed bumps down. We need to fix the parks on a regular basis. There's some tree that needs trimming. There's a big hole in the bog there that has some mosquitoes. There's a place around the corner. We have 20 places that we checked to where we get complaints from residents who say they have a rat infestation. So we have all this information down, so we need to get in contact with the ministry of this and that, but we want have access to these things. Local government can have access to the ministries, you know, just by a phone number. And then we have the budget to purchase these equipment that we need for this community. Okay, so call you on the line just now. The producer stepped out, but if you want to call back, you can. We have a few more minutes. Let me see if I can get it right. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, good night, Scrooge. What's up, man?
Good night to you.
Yeah, you and the first caller, y'all said everything and more that the Bahamians need to know and what I wanted to say. But
go ahead.
I guess we'll put out a notice out there. I went to the Parliamentary Registrar Department.
Yes, sir.
And one of my friends, they told me that the Bahamians that are eligible voters who can vote they need to start. If you ain't got nothing to do, go and start to get registered. Because she said that the Bahamian of Haitian descent are registering in droves every day. Wow. They're registering. So, you know, they already have an underground network where they know what all of them is be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bahamians be sitting down,
mm-hmm.
and they registering in droves.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to put that out there. If you ain't got nothing to do,
go get registered.
Get your passport, go get your stuff, and go start registering.
And make a difference.
Thanks for taking my course, Richard.
My pleasure, sir. Yeah, that's some good information. And you had some good information. Pay mind to it. You know, sometimes they say what you... Sometimes they say Father sends you a message. It's up to you as individuals to listen and receive the message, you know, because, you know, we need to get registered to vote in the country. You know, don't give up on your country. I know it's a back and forth, but one day the Father might bless us with a leader who, you know, finds compassion and understands that when he holds this office, that he has a greater good to do, and that to make sure all needs are met. And we have a government that really goes all out for the Bahamian people. Because like I said, you know, we have close to $1 trillion worth of investments in the Bahamas in the last 2.5 years. And yet still, we still have unemployment. I mean, arguing about unemployment is down from both political parties who have held power. And the gentleman stated, you know, for the last 50 years how, you know, we've been in a tailspin, you know. And like I said, local government is the key because we need something sustainable, you know. When the government comes and goes, these elected bodies will still be there and working. Prime example, me. How many different governments I've been working with over the last 25 years? Sir Lyndon Pinlan, the great Sir Lyndon Oscar Pinlan. Work with him. The late, great Dr. Bernard Nordich. I work with the Honorable Tommy Turncross, former Minister of National Security. I even work with former Prime Minister Hubert Minnis. Didn't you see a few years ago when he, I mean, not Hubert Minnis, I work with his administration. I also work with Hubert Ingram, former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, man. He came and visited me on Hay Street Park when he said what he was going to do with the Old City Market. You know, how he's going to build a low-cost home for people in the inner city community. He was going to turn the city market into a business establishment, trades, and small businesses for the inner city people because he was listening to me, you know? But I've not stopped. I'm the same person. I was consistent. Yes, the government going, that idea died, but I'm still working at it. I'm still here working. I'm not going to stop. And as long as I have breath in my body and tail, I see that community that I reside in, that I can see the tourists coming in that community, and I can see when 20 small businesses where we have 20, we have females, males, in the community who have their own small business, along with my businesses, the local bars, small tuck shops, barber shops, nail technician, coconut stands, Kong salad stand, the simple stuff. And then see the horse and carriage come through Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Daly Street. And we're creating that a safe zone. That's what I'm doing. So I'm not sitting around waiting on government because I understand that government hands full. And their main priority is bringing major investments in the country. Their priority is not the taxpayers, you know. You know who we are, people? Let me explain something to y'all. Y'all don't understand who we are. And for all the smart people in the world, what is government? Let me tell you, explain to you what is government. Government is set up to tax the people, to have control over the people, to run the people affairs. That's what I'm going to say. The Crown Liners asked the Bahamian people, and you could go do this and do that. Then you see the Minister of Environment, Warren Miller, and the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Wayne Munro, stated that it's not the Bahamian people Crown Land, it's the Bahamas government Crown Land. So when we elect them, hey, they are the Bahamian people. So when we go to the polls and we vote, right? And they become the government of the Bahamas, we entrust them to do the bidding of the Bahamian people. Always remember that. And me and you are taxpayers. to pay the civil servants from both political parties who go and do extremely great. Do that three time. So like when you say, when we see we're paying people like the Honorable Hubert Alexander, former Prime Minister, Hubert Alexander Ingram, okay? He did three terms. So as part as his pension fund, because in order for you to have pension in the Bahamas, serving as the Prime Minister, you have to serve two terms. So he served three. So me and you, for the rest of his life, as long as he lived, the children who grew up, your grandmother, your brother and sisters, the taxpayers, us, we would be paying Hubert Ingram, the former Prime Minister who served 15 years as Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas and also served as Minister for many years under the Pendleton administration and the Free National Movement administration. Okay? He would get approximately $150,000. Perry Christie, former Prime Minister, Perry Gladstone Christie, he himself said it was his own mouth. He needed to do two terms in order for him to get his pension. So that's why he came back, because he knew he wouldn't get no pension. His pension, me, you, your daughter, just us, all us who vote, taxpayers, right? Us, PLP and the FNM and us, all us who vote, all us who don't vote. So if you're contributing to voting, you going to the store, paying your driver's license, paying your insurance, paying a license for your car, all that, the light bill, the water bill, when you go to the food store and you spend your money, all of that would add up. All that is going back to pay for these individual both political parties. That's former Commissioner of Police who served that term, nurses, doctors, all civil servants who do like 25 years. Okay? So that's why they had to run the national insurance, which I call is treason, because all prime ministers, this is their responsibility. Their job is never, ever let the pension falter. Means, in other words, the money always helped to be there for the pensioners. It's the prime minister's job to make sure that all former employees who have done their 25 to 30 years or 40 years in government, now is entitled, whether you're on the police force, okay, whether you're a nurse who do 20, 35 years, immigration officer do 20, 35 years, a politician who do 20, 35 years, you know, anyone who a part of central government, or we call them essential workers, okay? Us who taxpayers, we pay all their pension. Okay? So that's why y'all see taxes. That's how government work. That's why I get to learn. See, I study it. And I get to see, this is a company. And we are the taxpayers, and our brothers and sisters who are in the uniform, working central government, the police department, government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Eh? There's essential workers who work for the Bahamas government and then made it, and who work for the Governor General, who in turn work for King Charles. So that's why Christ said, give unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar. And that's how the system runs. So when we vote, we all paying for former parliamentarians and et cetera. So that's what it is. That's what it is. That's why, if you look at how much every year in the budget goes to pension, and everyone in here who listening to the airwaves today would be surprised to know that most of our money goes to pensioners. And you know where it comes from? The taxpayers, people. So that's why when I talk about the second swearing in, where we see the minister from Abaco is being accused of a rape allegation, and then we see where they're complaining, been public and stated that, you know, it seems to be a double facet where, you know, I'm important or an incident, and we're seeing where the commission saying it's being passed through the DDP, and they've yet to decide if the MP is going to be persecuted. It's because, again, I keep telling people, okay, you can talk about the Constitution all you want, okay? Look at the second surrender. Look at the first one. I want you all to listen, man. Listen to me. Listen when the ministers them get swear. Listen closely, and then look at the first one, then look at the second one, and then look at the third one. The one and two is not for us. The first one, like I tell you, is the King Charles, and the second one is to attack parliamentary. So if you're in opposition and you're in the government and there's some kind of dirty deal going on, and that needs to be investigated, it's not going to be properly investigated because the party has their commissioner of police, who they appoint. You know, they move them. That's why every time you see them 3.5 years or 3 years, we see the commissioner of police go. Or we see a new governor general. See, because I have to have my team in place to protect my people in my party. And that's just how it's set up. That's why every time you see a party come in, a new party come in, they change all the ministers. The minister still under contract, so yeah, but 1 or 2 years on his contract. Made yeah talk, say, but we're going to keep him. Then he listen the next 6 months, commissioner gone. You understand? The commissioner has a boss, and his boss is the Minister of National Security. Right? And the Minister of National Security boss is the Honorable Brave Davis. Okay? And I truly believe, this is my input on why I say this. I truly believe only the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, who holds the seat, is the only person who could put a sitting minister before the courts. And we have seen it from former Prime Minister of the Free National Movement, Ewan Minnis. He opened a Pandora box. Because the people were asking for that. We were asking for more accountability. That was us people. Because we saw the corruption in the MPs and they was untouchable. Now a Pandora box has been opened, and that's us. So that's why I like people like Daniel Burrows. You understand? So that's how it go, people. You know? I just read and I ask the Father for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. I appreciate each and every one of you listening to the show. But I'm only here to bring a message. And I've been around politics. I've been around the top bosses. I know Neil Ellis. I know Miles Monroe. Personally, I know Neil Ellis personally. You know, I know some of the biggest set of people in this country who I personally sat down and talk with in the country. Have discussions with people around the world. You know? I tell you, I had the occasion to actually buck Michael Jackson and talk to the guy by Cody's. I had the opportunity to buck Magic Johnson and Tyler Perry at the red carpet when they had the new movie, When I Get Married Again, Married 2, when it was over at Lannis, I was on the red carpet. Me and Spidey and John Boswick and Debbie Bartlett and Gandhi. And I had the opportunity to sit down with Marjorie Johnson and his wife. You know, Tyler Perry, I didn't meet in person, but I saw him and he walked through. So I had the opportunity to meet some of the greatest set of people in the world. And the most humble one who I thought would be a prejudiced person was Michael Jackson. And I've never seen a personality like that. I hugged them in front of Cody's. All right? My friend Terry, still living to this day, who bought me a pair of corner wires, which cost $170-something, and he bought me half a case of beer, because that's what I bet when I told him I just met Michael Jackson in front of the Cody's, and he told me a lie, and I told him, you won't bet. And I asked Michael Jackson, I have a friend who would never believe that I saw him, because they had Cody's book right out. We even took a picture with Cody's. Cody's now deceased. But we took a picture with Michael Jackson, me and all of Cody and his whole staff who canceled Cody's that day. They closed Cody that day. And I was loud because I met Michael Jackson. I hugged this guy. He was so short and so nice, you know. And he allowed me to actually meet him a second time with my friend Terry Marshall. And we went inside. And he was the nicest person. And the thing is why the Bahamas is so great. Listen to this, people. We inside Cody's. And Terry can't believe it. He kind of like a real guy. And he all about him, Michael Jackson. He make Michael Jackson laugh. He's all about, you Michael Jackson. He holding Michael Jackson shaking. And his bodyguard was just laughing. You know, and he had must have 20 or 30 bodyguards. And they was lying off from the door to Cody's. And only me and Terry was inside, and only me and Terry and the whole staff of Cody's was in there. And like I said, we took a picture. And listen to this. That's why I said the Bahamas is talented. He came to Cody's, and I listened to his words. I was listening. He say, he went to the girl. She was fall. She was faint. So she asked the lady, could you please, I heard you have some Michael Jackson CD. Could you please play a few for me? Because I hear Cody is doing the best mix in the world. He said, could you do the mix for me, please? And I just read this down, and I said, wow. So when I listened to Cody's, and the lady played, Cody come upstairs, and he do the mix, like, how you got, Triller, and then he put the beat in there, you know? And this is a Bohemian. And the Baker Boy did it too. So he played the Baker Boys and Cody's thing, and then he played his music. But the music, how it was put together here in the Bahamas, he said that was the best in the world he have ever heard. And he bought a whole selection of Cody's music. Oh, Cody's, Michael Jackson. And he said that's the best mix he ever heard, because how Cody mix it and the Baker mix it, they had a Triller, beat it, and all that, and they bring it back. You know, that was awesome. And then, you know, yeah. So it was a great experience. That was a great experience for me. And like I said, you know, I've had a great experience from as a young man. I met prime ministers, I met Sir Lyndon, I met Eubin Ingram, I met Barry Christie, I met some billionaires, I met Prince, I met some queens, you know. I met some of the most important set of people in the world. Hard to believe it. So, yeah. It's hard to believe.
All right.
So when I was listening to Dwight Schrone, he had this lady on from Miami, Florida. And she was talking about very interesting show, you know, that Dwight had on that day. And she talked about city government and how the mayor and how they make the changes from central government. And they do things that is needed in the community, provide a budget, and be able to make changes in the community. So if we could do that here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the prime minister of the country, Brave Davis, say unemployment is down. And like I said, his statistics based on his survey done by his team, based on the contracts and the work that they're being able to provide for the government agencies who go there and provide opportunities. That is in government. But the wider majority of people in this country, especially in the city communities, and for it all, we have thousands. I honestly speaking, let me just say this. And last, listen to the statistics. See, that's why I don't be in the statistics. But like, because I always tell you, they don't go door to door. So you can't tell me, say, there was, how many people were just registered to vote in Bantown? I think less than 20,000 or more. 20,000. Right? Less than 20,000. I think 15,000, 16,000. I can't remember when the minister was on. But there are way more people than 10,000 people living in Bantown and Grandstown. There could be anywhere from 50,000, 40,000 or more people living in these communities. So it's hard to say how many people is unemployed or employed in these communities. But if you look them in your eyes, you could see. Because everyone begging. Everyone asking for a dollar or $5 or something to do. So that alone, by people standing up on the streets, stagnated. You know? And you can look in their faces. That's why some people are going crazy now. You see some people on the streets going crazy now? Huh? Losing their mind because they can't handle the pressure. They don't know where to get a dollar from. They don't know where to get next meal from. They don't know where they're going to get a roof over their head. You know? And this is the real Bahamas now, in the richest Caribbean country in the world. You know? And for the prime minister to say that, you know, he need to ride to the communities. You know? Local government is the key. Local government is the key. As long as the individual who are part of local government are not greedy, their job is when they get elected to go there, whether you're PLP or AFNOM, if you don't even like those places, your job is to go there and make a difference. the speed bumps need to go up. That same house that you don't agree with that person has no running water, no light. Your job is not to say that person is the PLP or F and M, or I don't like that person, and I get this contract and stuff to do these things, and I can lay them out. No, we don't want those type of people involved in government. Selfish person. And that's what's going on in our country today. We need people who would put that aside and say, you know what? I'm going to do my part to help, regardless, and I'm going to help these people. I don't want to hear nothing about no PLP, no F, no, I don't like this one or no. Our job is to be local government. Make an impact. We represent these people, and let's do our job. You get a nice salary, and if you do good, you get reelected. And you could be there for a little while, because if you do keep on going, doing a good job, and you keep on improving, having a close contact with the community resident, and making improvements, and taking ideas what they give to you, and not discrediting them, but also acknowledging them. So when they come to you and give you an idea sounds good and it's a good solution, you acknowledge that person. You get the person on the stand. You put him out there and say, man, this is a young man who told us, you know, Rachel would be a nice, nice community garden. And look at it now. That's because of him. Or this young lady, Danya, she say, you know what? Why don't let's do a little hair braiding thing down here? And I could get some of the young girls who are unemployed, and we could get a horse and jars come through. We just need you to build a place, man. He's going to give us the yard, and we're going to build a place, and we're going to train ourselves properly, and we're going to start something here. That's what we want. And local government can provide these things. It's just that the individuals who are involved have to understand that they have a greater purpose, and that purpose is to make the country better. You know, the gentleman talked about the Haitian nationals getting registered now and encouraging Bahamian to get registered. Okay? So be encouraged, you know, be a part of the process. You know, I know that life is tough, but I want you to know that if we could get local government in inner city communities, and we have unselfish people who have good in store for the residents of the community and the kids of the community and the elderly of the community, to make sure that the elderly are taken care of, the homes that the elderly stay in are fully monitored. We have the kids working around the clock, helping the elderly at their homes, you know, in that particular community. So local government can be a big, big change. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yeah, bless you, Scoozy. Scoozy, what's going on?
My everything good. Everything good.
Yeah, I just tuned in and I had to make a little run. So, what I was saying was, Scoozy, that's good advice for the Bahamian people to get registered, because word on the streets, not a word on the streets, right? But it's something that I find. You know your boy who called you initially on the first hour?
Yes, sir.
You always call. He makes some good points. I like to listen to him.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. He's,
I could dub him the realist, you know, because he like me, man.
Yeah, he like you.
But Scoozy, the plantation is becoming very scary. I don't know if you saw, you know, the thing is, you know, the media got to do a better job of having open lines at least one day of the week, each talk show host, because they are guilty of corralling the collective minds on distractions, mindless distractions and things that are flippant. You know what I mean? I listen to me, Scoozy, what I'm saying is, I saw, I was minding my own business, something came on the high school chat about three officers interdicted for robbery, right?
Police officers?
Yeah, I saw that.
I saw it too. On my phone too. A cousin or somebody.
And you know, it was the hush hush thing. It was like,
that's right.
It was BP News, and they're saying, you know, we'll keep you updated.
That's why we need independent body. That's what you're talking about right there. I understand what you're saying. Now, you're saying that was there, and that's a big headline. Yet still, we have police who involved in illegal activities, but yet still, we ain't hearing nothing about it.
Yeah, but so that's what I was saying. Is, so, under the Freedom of the Information Act, you have to understand the power of politics and coonyism, whereby once someone is affiliated with a particular party,
that's
power,
how it is. That's what it is.
Ushers, he can't be fired. And we saw the dubious story about the Turing West assistant superintendent and Andres. All of these different things are very scary. We saw the situation in Crooked Island. We never hear about these things, you know.
The drug bust with inspector and all that.
Me, right, Mr. Brown?
Hey.
Seeing that you and I have experience on the road, right?
Yes, sir.
The public should demand, in a first world country like America, we'd have demanded all of the arrest records of these officers, and then we need to know if they worked in together in cars, how, when they was together, and what happened when they was together. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
Because if you have three officers allegedly mixed up in this type of behavior? Because, you know, it's always alleged, right?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, how dangerous is that for me, a member of the public paying the government to pay these people them? And we have these people, they more like gangsters to me. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, some they exist. They exist.
Squish Brown, me and you, I don't even have, you know,
I just give a story. I just give some stories. You know how those stories
are. But what I'm saying is there's many blind eyes being turned.
Yeah.
Bohemians who are political dukes and goons and affiliates, they're turning a blind eye to the invasion of the Haitian migrant into this country. They're turning a blind eye. Every word on the streets is somebody said on the radio, they went to register and there's no Haitians are registering. So we don't mind if the Haitian being in Bologna registered, right?
Nothing wrong
with that. But we still need to get this problem with the Nationality Act
established.
Being passed without a referendum straightened up.
Yeah.
I don't know why the media is downplaying that. They're downplaying Stephen. They're downplaying Stephen Duncombe, Cleaver Duncombe on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And all this different real legal situation with this problem.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So, you know, we just wallowing and, you know, we see what measures the politicians will take to garner a certain demographic, right, which is really treasonous, all right? So, I mean, where are we headed? What is there for me and your children? You know, some of these politicians, we don't need to call nobody name. They have lived for almost 70 years, no children, no marriage, no nothing. Just a fruitless existence, and they want me and you to believe that they really care for us.
They understand something, you know? You think they don't understand something, cuz? Let me tell you what they understand. They understand tyranny and power. They understand some. See, when you get in government, you get to understand certain things. And I tell you, as a company, they get to understand how government run.
Yeah, but, excuse me, I have a question.
Go ahead.
All of a sudden, you know, I'm born in the 60s, right?
Yes, sir.
I have Asian demon friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we never had this problem. And all of a sudden, somebody called and asked, what if the war break up with the Asians and the demon? Why should I, as a demon, in my country be asking these kind of questions or have anxiety about this particular situation?
We've
all been betrayed for 50 years. Nobody cares. And then the thing is, the colonial steam brain politicians, they love masses so much until they love the pump and pageantry. They're wasting the taxpayers' money. The country is sinking, and they're not thinking, and they really believe that the Bemis people can put up with this PLP and FNM paradigm, and both of them are carrying the same agenda.
That's why
we're willing to betray the Bemis people for votes. Now I have eyes to see. I live in the inner city schools.
Yeah, man.
You live in the inner city.
Yeah.
You see what's going on, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know where these guys are, but I don't know what's going to happen, Scoochie. But you know, we got children, and so I really it sickens me. The human journey sickens me. At home, I'm on the broad. You see what's going on in France, right?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
But you know, of course, the slave owners, they don't have the gonads. So what they'll do is they'll run and tell Massa something is afoot. All right, because they still love Martha, and they think Martha love us. Have a good day, Lester.
Okay, good night to you, man. And to the callers, you guys are doing an outstanding job here calling in tonight. And like I say, you know, I highly have respect for senior officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force who have been very decent to me. I also talk about the incidents. And like I said, they are good cops, so then I always show my respect to officers, you know, because let me show you why I say I am respectful to certain officers. Because many times when I was in custody, listen, I'm a young guy being locked up over, I mean, in the station, man, a couple hundred times, okay? Like I say, I've been to prison twice, but I never spent time in prison. I spent a few weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks on remand, because like I tell you people, not to say boast and brag, I was very smart in my criminal activities. Because I said that I'm a criminal, and I want to be free. I don't want to be criminal leaving evidence and going to jail. So I was a person in my field, what I was dealing with in the gangster and selling drugs, I always protected myself. You understand? I always did that. And that's one of the reasons I never spent a long time in jail. You know? So that's why I was able, and I was ever smart. You know? So I end up and CDU for 4 days, and I end up in front of B.K. Barnaby. I think B.K. Barnaby is assistant commissioner of police or superintendent of police. Let me get the ranks in between those. Well, Mr. Barnaby, please excuse me. Because you know the ranks always moving. You've done extremely well. B.K. Barnaby Jr. is the son of the late B.K. Barnaby Jr., who was one of the first set of commissioners of the Bahamas, of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And BK was in CID along with Alakup. I always call him Alakup. Mark Barrett, he is also, I think he's the superintendent to the Grove Police Station.
and a few inspectors, you know, and I was involved in a shooting incident with the police and armed robbery. I was involved in neither, but I had some dealing with some young guys who me was selling them some shots, and they ended up by me, but not knowing to me, these guys just came off armed robbery. They just shoot at the police and do all this stuff, and they come by me, and I was giving them the shots, and the police pull up. And there was a shootout, and I was involved, and I ended up getting catch on the scene, and the car was in my yard. And that's why I say the police also listen too if they do proper investigation. That's why I'm very respectful to P.K. Ponnaby Jr., Alakup, and many other senior officers who was at that time at CDU in Oaksville. And I was getting questioned. And they said, man, Gucci, you lock up an armed robbery. They had these two guns, but they found in my yard because the guy shoot at the police. You know, the police had big shootout with them. And these some guys from the neighborhood now, some young guys who I grew up. You know, that's when I was still doing my little illegal activities. And the police ended up apprehending me. And after the shootout, there was a nationwide APB all over Nassau, New Providence. Every big police officer who was in charge of the force at the time wanted to see me. So I ended up in CID. And they already knew me. So I was crushed in, and I told them, say, so, y'all might not believe this. I ain't doing no robbery or shooting at the police. And I explained that I was selling the guys some shots. See, I was always truthful, you know? I was always truthful to the police. Man, I know what to say. I'd rather get locked up for selling them the shots than to get locked up for armed robbery or to snitch or to get charged with the firearm. Because neither of these were mine. I just was selling them shots, like I say. And these guys were up a gas station, shoot at the police on Tonic William Highway. These guys were involved in murder and all. And these were hot boys. You know how it was in the streets. So all these guys used to come to me. That's why I changed my lifestyle around. Now I used to do positive. Changed every upset. So anyway, I ended up in CID. So PK Barnaby, I look up. I can't remember some of the officers, senior officers there. And they knew me. That's why I say, if you be respectful. And they say, Scrooge, we charge you with armed robbery. And they had to file. P.K. Barnaby Jr. had to file in his hand like this. And he said, man, you're going to jail. And I said, man, hold on now, man. Mr. Barnaby. I said, look at my files from you know me, and this CID office know me. I said, you tell me I've ever been locked up for armed robbery? I said, y'all might don't believe this, but I was involved with an armed robbery. I was shooting on these. I said, so I was selling some shots. So they look at me and say, and then they say, I sell drugs, so. You see? And I ain't CID. So I say, I ain't a robber, nobody. I ain't no rapist. I just a gangster. If you mess with me, it's on. I ain't care who he is. But other than that, I was just a natural citizen. I just was doing my legal activity, selling my drugs, and doing what I have to do to survive. But robbing people, killing people, worrying about what people get, breaking in people's clothes, no, that wasn't my stuff. I just was a wild person. So I said, man, sir, y'all can charge me for armed robbery. Now I ain't supposed to be going to jail, you know. You know? So I said, man, PK Barnaby. And then they look at one and all, I look at them. And they know me. And they say, man, Scrooge, you don't know no armed robbery, man. You see? And I watch PK Barnaby take the file, my charge sheet, and tear it up in front of me. And they say, man, you're going to be believe you. Because they go on and question one of the guys who got caught in the scene. And he talked. And he tell them everything that he needed to tell them concerning the matter. And he told them, say, I was not in the car and I ain't going to do another armed robbery. So if you go on and you lie, just say if I had a lie now and tell them, I know the guys. Or I wasn't selling them shorts. Then they're testing me and I would have gone to jail. So if I didn't tell the truth right then and there, even though I could incriminate myself for the shots and the gun because I said, you know, but it all add up. And they never put their hands on me because I was a boss. When I get locked up, I said myself to myself. Let me just say that, you know. I was like 9 or one of the big boys, you know, when I get locked up. That's how it is with me. That's how it was with me. Yeah. And he told me, he said, you know, they're going to let me go. So there are decent police officers who I respect on the force, who do their job to the best of their abilities. But we still need a private entity, a police officer who are part of the Royal Bombers Police Force, and their job is just to investigate complaints against officers, find out the truth, make sure that the civilians are not lying on officers, and they find there's guilt under the section of the Royal Bombers Police Force Act. And then if it's going to be a criminal matter, we need to update it to the public and let us know. And also we want to see, if we want a better country, that when police officers break the law, that on site, they get the handcuffs put on them from their fellow officers if they abuse or assault or curse somebody in the presence of other officers, knowing full well that once person is in custody, as long as they're not misbehaving or being disrespectful to the police. And if the officer's out of line and he assaults this person, whether it's on the streets or in the station, he should be charged for assault and penalized based on that offense. And if we want him to be fired, then so be it. But we have to have a balance where officers know themselves just as well as the guy on the street knows that if he get catch selling drugs or he get catch breaking in someone's house, he's going to jail. We also have to have this fair, putting them also knowing that if they do wrong and they use their badge to oppress, then you have a team of people there once reported and investigated properly. Like I said, there are a lot of people who lie on police. We have a lot of bad police, we have a lot of good police. But proper investigation, and we need to hold everyone accountable. We have the MPs going before the courts now, and that's what we vote for. Now we need to ask for an internal investigation team. The Pacific police officers with civilians will investigate these matters and they have the power to decide based on the evidence if an officer should be disciplined, put before the court, or fired. Okay? Yeah, and I think the solution to make improvements to this country comes down to local government. If we introduce local government in New Providence, we'd be able to deal with a lot of social ills in this country. We will be able to get the information from government departments put in local government and have access to numbers, access to the Small Business Development Department at the Ministry of Finance. But we will have it right there as part of local government in walking distance in that community. And the empowerment can be transferred from the office of the Prime Minister, from the financial sector, right there with the Small Business Development that we could form in the city community. Okay? So again, garbage collection comes, garbage truck comes around every 2-3 weeks. Time is in the garbage bill up. Local government, we could have our own garbage truck for that area so that we over screen or overwork the truck. So we have that Pacific area. Every 2 days, we see the truck. It'll be properly maintained because we have a maintenance plan in place to make sure that the truck itself pays itself. And the contractor is someone who lives in the community, who has the contract, and we all know him. And we would pay him to keep the community clean on a regular basis, paying him from the local government budget that we get. Because we also want to empower people in the community. So a guy like, a young guy could come up with an idea that he'd like to buy 2 trucks and he could keep Grandstand clean. And local government could hire it. Also, we might need a dumpster. And that's for that one particular area. So that we don't have no bulk waste no more. We don't have to wait around no more. We get all the numbers, we get all the tools, and we have the personnel and the company in the community. And I think that's what local government can do. So I want to commend to Neil Burrows, General Manager of Guardian, Dwight Scron, who plays like he don't know nothing but local government, but he himself sit down to the table and gave some great ideas. And that's why I want to give him a thumbs up, because he has done extremely great when it comes to educating the general public. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. And I want to say this to the Prime Minister. Mr. Prime Minister, there are thousands of people out of work in this country. There are hundreds of people who are going crazy in this country. But you can make a difference. If you listen, implement local government, bring small business in the inner city community, full-fledged in the urban node centers and private community organization, help them with the local small business and introducing local government with the churches, we'd see a big change. And that'd be the change we need. So, see you next week on Garden Radio 96.9 FM. This song, yeah, and the producer of the song is Maestro. And he's a behemoth musician. He's been on the show a few times. And he's going to give me a new version of this, and he has some new music coming out. It just goes to show you, just like how Michael Jackson talked about Cody is and Baker Boy mixing his music, and he freaked out on how they mix his music. That's the talent of us. We need to train our kids in trades so they can be able to use their hands. So, I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:38 p.m. on Garden Radio. We'll see you next week and enjoy a night. See you next week.
For no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass for a season, season. Godless, I go weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people I from.
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.